No, the rest of them I know.
Okay.
I'm no problem.
It's good to see all of you out, and it's a special night. Looking forward to the baptism of Joe Hodges, and that will be coming up here pretty soon. But just a few announcements that I want to make note of. Next week, Sunday night, we'll be having a Fifth Sunday Fellowship, so we'll have a time of favorites and testimonies and things like that, and then a fellowship afterwards. So keep that in mind. And then I think that's about all we want to do for announcements. So let's go ahead and have an opening word of prayer, and then we'll have our song service. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us here tonight, and what a blessing it is to gather together as a group of born-again believers. And I do thank you especially for the privilege it will be to baptize Joe Hodges. And I do thank you for how you've worked in his life and the change that we've seen. And so I do pray, even as we sing songs of praise to you and as we look into your word, I pray that you challenge us and convict us and even encourage us. And we do thank you most of all for Jesus Christ and what he means to us. And I thank you that Jesus Christ changes lives. And so I do pray that even as we worship you this evening, I pray that our focus would be upon you. And we do praise you for who you are, because you are Almighty God. And we thank you that you love us. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I ask you to take your hymnals. We're going to turn to hymn number 89 to start this evening. Hymn number 89 will allow you to remain seated. Hymn number 89, Our Great Savior.
Jesus.
Great singing. Let's turn over now to hymn number 117. This may look like a new song to some of you. However, it is an old tune, Rejoice, the Lord is King. So while it's different words, it's a very familiar tune. So we're going to try and learn this one together. Sung that song to that tune before. There's a few of you down here. Good. Let's see. My wife insisted that I know this song. And I said, I'm not sure I know this song. And so I had a whole nother one planned. Then Priscilla came up and said, you know that song. And I said, okay. I still don't know this song. All right. So let's try on the second stanza. Here we go. But I still like the other song better. All right. 183. That's because I'm a creature of habit and I want to sing the other words. Kind of threw me off there. 183. Let's stand as we sing. 183. Beneath the cross of Christ.
Thank you.
What a blessing. I just reached down in my pocket and I felt my cell phone and I thought, I think I left it on my ringtone. And so I thought, I better take care of that. Otherwise, somebody's going to end up calling me and that would be a little embarrassing, wouldn't it? And so, don't want that. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight. What a blessing it is to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we've sang songs of praise to you. And so many blessings, we can't even count them. But we do thank you for what Jesus Christ has done for us, how he died on the cross for us, how he is buried, he rose again. And I thank you that whoever believes on Jesus has eternal life. What a precious promise. And so we do thank you for your word. I pray that even as we look into it, you would encourage us and challenge us. I do pray that you'd help us to live the life that you have told us to live. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So simple, yet so powerful. That's the title of the sermon this evening. But have you ever thought about how the simplest things can make the hugest difference in this world? Well, can you think of some simple things, very simple things?
Air conditioning.
Okay. That's not quite what I was thinking, but yes, air conditioning is rather simple, and it makes a huge difference. Just think if we were outside right now in that humidity, and we'd almost be baptized by our sweat, wouldn't we, if we were outside there right now. But I was thinking of something even a little bit more simple than that. Think about water. Water's really simple, isn't it? And if you're a chemist, you realize water is H2O. It has two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen, and it's bound together to make that water molecule. But water is one of the most basic substances around, isn't it? And we take it for granted so many times, don't we? It's not very complex, but yet it's vital. What would this world be without water? It wouldn't be anything, would it? Yeah, it would be less human, that's for sure. We wouldn't be here right now if there was no water. And you know what? That's why the scientists are really, they're scavenging around the universe to try to find water. Because they think where they find water, there's going to be life. But you know, even if they find water, I don't think they're going to find life. Because there's more to life than just water. And God has all those things in control. But there's so much of life here on earth that depends on water. Without water, we wouldn't have any life as we know it. Now, what else is so very simple, but yet so powerful? We have air conditioning, we have water. What else do we have? Have you ever thought about the ABCs? That's very simple. When did you learn your ABCs? Kindergarten? Maybe even before? Okay. And we learned a little song to sing to learn our ABCs, right? Do you want to sing that with me right now? No, not really. But I think all of us could sing those ABCs. But you know, we've gone beyond just the ABCs. We can put those letters together and form words. And we use those words to form sentences. And we form paragraphs and all types of things that we can do with words. Now, so the alphabet is very basic, very simple, but yet words can be very powerful, can't they? Can you think of what you can do with words? Andy just preached a couple Sundays ago. One of the biggest lies in this world is what? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a huge lie, isn't it? Because words are powerful and words can hurt. Now, just think of how the written word can make a huge difference in someone's life. You've heard another saying that the pen is mightier than the sword. Do you believe that? And really, you can change a whole society by just the written word. It's amazing. Now, what can we do with words? So they're so simple. Well, what can you do? What powerful thing can you do with words? Can you think of advertising? Can you think of some simple slogans that the advertisers have used to get across their advertising message? You can probably think of some of those. Or if you put words to music, you can do quite a bit with that. But you think of wartime. You can think of all the propaganda that goes with those words. But even more powerful than all those uses, what is the most powerful thing that you can put words to that has the greatest impact? What is it? It is the gospel. It is the simple gospel. That is the most powerful use of words in this whole universe. Have you ever thought about the power of the gospel? Have you ever thought about that? The power of the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Can you think of a passage that just lays the gospel out for us? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, and we're going to go there pretty soon. But even before that, the power of the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16, what does it say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. God has chosen to use His infinite power, because God is almighty, and He has chosen to use His almighty power to save sinners. And He has chosen a very simple method as far as saving sinners. Now, you'd think, if God would choose to save someone, He would maybe choose a way that maybe is kind of similar to our ACT test or SAT test, you know, where you'd only get the cream of the crop, right? You'd think that's our way of thinking. But yet, did God require vast amounts of human intelligence for us to accept that free gift of salvation? No, not at all. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we didn't have to take an ACT test or an SAT and pass it with flying colors in order to get that salvation. No. It is to whoever puts their trust in what Jesus Christ did for us. We go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3, 4, and 5, what Bob just mentioned here. There are so many people in this world that think, yes, I have to pass that ACT test. I have to pass that SAT test. I have to do all these great works in order to earn my way to heaven, in order to make myself so that I'm in a position where God is going to accept me. That's what so many people think. And whenever they hear the simple truth of the gospel, they think, well, that's below my dignity. That is something too easy for me to do. I can't just believe something and then get this eternal life, something that is so wonderful. They think, that's below me. I have to do something more for it. But what did we read about the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Verses 3, 4, and 5. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. That is the gospel. Okay, the gospel is so simple. And the gospel, really, it involved a lot. Okay, it came at a huge price, but not for us. It was a huge price for who? For Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the one who died on that cross. And we can never understand really what Jesus Christ went through on that cross. He didn't deserve to go on that cross and to be crucified. He was on that cross for me and for you. And for each and every person in this world. He died for us. Because of what Jesus did, that's the gospel, that He died for us, He was buried, He rose again, He was seen by many. It's because He died for us. And all we have to do is what? Believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him. That's what the gospel is all about. And the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ, what happens? You become a child of God. You're made a new creation. And so there's so many people in this world, whenever they hear this, all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. They say, well, that's too easy. Even a child could do that. And you know what? That's right, isn't it? Even a child can hear the gospel and understand it and believe it, and then they're saved just as much as an adult. We read in Luke chapter 18, verses 16 and 17, what does Jesus say? Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So what do you need to be saved? You need to have faith like a child. Faith like a child. Isn't that incredible? The world, and when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the lost world, they will never understand the power of God that is in the gospel. It won't make any sense to them. They will never understand the power that is contained in the good news until they have come out of the world and been saved. That's the only time they're going to realize the power of the gospel, when they experience the new birth.
Right.
The gospel message is so simple, but yet so powerful, so profound. And hopefully all of you here this evening understand what the gospel is. We just read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Personally, He died for you. He was buried, He was put in that tomb. He rose again the third day, victorious over death and sin and the devil. He was seen by many witnesses. It was a fact that no one could contest. And whoever believes on Jesus Christ has eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is the promise of the Scriptures. The gospel has power. Very incredible. Okay, so you know what the gospel is. I hope you put your trust in Jesus Christ personally. But what do you do once you trust in Jesus Christ? Is that the end of it? Okay, now God makes you a new creature, but is that the end of all struggles? No, not by any means. It's hard to be a Christian. I don't want to give anybody the idea that once you trust in Jesus Christ, it's just a cakewalk, that everything's going to be great for you. There's no more trials or troubles or no more financial hardships. I don't want to tell you that because that's not the truth. The moment you get saved, the moment you trust in Jesus Christ, yeah, you have a totally new life. You can experience what joy and true happiness and peace and contentment is, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be trials and tribulations out there. But yet, if you believe the gospel, that's where it's all at. Well, what do we do once we get saved? We don't just kick back our feet on the sofa and just say, you know, I'm saved now, my eternity is secure, I'm just going to take it easy now because I don't have to do anything. No, that's not what we do at all. The moment you're saved, yes, you're a new creature, and God is going to place within you a desire to do what He has told you to do in His Word. Okay? He's going to give you that desire to live for Him. And you're going to have the desire to want to go out and tell your family and your friends, those who are close to you, and even those you don't even know, those people on the streets that you just walk up to, you're going to have a desire to share with them what you have experienced, the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was an incredible man. Paul was a man who in his early days was a terrible sinner. Okay, he was a murderer. He was even persecuting Christians and wanting to put them to death. Okay? But Jesus Christ saved Paul there on that road to Damascus. And once he got saved, he had a burning desire to go out all over the place and preach the gospel. There's many places we could go to look at the life of Paul, but we want to go to Acts chapter 16 this evening. Acts chapter 16 and verses 11 through 15, because here in this passage, we really see how Paul had a burden for the lost souls and really how all of this works out. Acts chapter 16 and verses 11 through 15, and we see the power of the gospel in this passage. The gospel is one of the simplest things, but yet living the Christian life is so difficult sometimes. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. And it says here, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." So what must we do when we've been saved, when our life has been changed? We must go and we must tell others. And that's what Paul did. That's what Paul is doing here right in this passage that we just read in these verses. Here we find Paul going to a city. It is a city of Philippi. And this city of Philippi was an important metropolis in the area and the region of Macedonia. And you know what? Paul was pretty smart because Paul went to where the people were. Paul had a message to preach. He wanted to let people know about this good news of Jesus Christ. So where does he go? He goes to where the people were, to this metropolis of Philippi. Now normally when Paul went to a city, he would find the synagogue, because in the synagogue, that's where the Jews met to worship, and the Jews had a knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. And so Paul could use that, and to use the Old Testament scriptures, and tell them concerning the Messiah, concerning Jesus Christ. And so that was a perfect entryway for Paul. But here in Philippi, we don't read anything about a synagogue, do we? But where does he go? He can't go to the synagogue where there'd be a lot of people who would be familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. So what does he do instead? He goes to a place outside of the city where there was basically a prayer meeting. A group where people met regularly for prayer. So Paul had this desire to go and spread the gospel. And who does he go and seek out first? He goes to the place where people really, in a sense, we could say they're seeking God. Now, we recognize in and of ourselves, the natural man does not seek God. But yet, God works in hearts, and he convicts hearts, so that they realize, yes, I'm a sinner, and yes, there is a God, and there's something more to this world than just what I'm doing. And so I think this is what this prayer meeting is all about. They didn't know about Jesus Christ, per se. They weren't saved, but yet they were worshiping God. They were seeking after God. God was working in their hearts. And so Paul goes to these people, and what does he do? He tells them about Jesus Christ. He had a message to proclaim, and he told it to these people, and he thought, these people very well may respond to this message because they indeed are seeking God. They're responding to the revelation that God has given them. That's what I believe here. And so here they're by the riverside, and Paul goes to this group of people, and what does he do? What does he do here in the passage? It's very simple. He sits down, and he talks with them. He sits down and he talks with them. And here we are introduced to one lady in particular. Her name is Lydia. And it tells us, yes, that she worshipped God. So she knew something of the God of the Bible. But yet her knowledge was limited. She probably had never heard about Jesus Christ. Or she didn't know the significance of what he did. So Paul is talking to this group of people. And as he talks, Lydia hears. Okay, and what happens? The Lord opens Lydia's heart so that she heeds what Paul says. Now notice, it doesn't say that Paul saved Lydia, does it? It doesn't say that. It says that Paul went to this group of people. Paul told them the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for them, that he was buried, he rose again. And there were people that heard, and what happened? The Lord opened their hearts to the message. And Lydia responded to that message, and she believed. It's not that Paul saved anyone, okay? It's God that opened the heart. It's God that saved Lydia. So very simple, isn't it? Whenever we think about that, the gospel is so simple. Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he rose again. Once we're saved, we should tell people, okay? Go to where the people are. Use our mouth and tell them, and people will hear. And then what happens? It's not for us to just to beat them down and to try to drive it into their heads. No, we tell them the message, but then we leave it to the Lord to open the heart. And it is the Lord that saves souls. And that's what we see here. And praise the Lord for that. This is what we must do. It's a great work. And really, as we look at this, what a privilege it is. But it's God that does all the work, really. It's God that's working through us. It's the Lord that opens the heart of Lydia. It's the Lord that made her realize, I need this Jesus. And Lydia responded in faith to that gospel message. But does the story end there? Is that where it ends? Now, Lydia gets saved, she believes. Now it doesn't say it word for word there, but it does say the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So right there is when Lydia got saved, I believe. And it's not just her, because you look at verse 15, and when she and her household were baptized. And so not only did Lydia hear the good news, but as we look at the whole tenor of the New Testament, I believe here that her household also heard that message, and they were saved. And then Lydia and her household were baptized, because they were believers in Jesus Christ. Now what is baptism all about? Okay, here we find it is one of the, basically it's the first thing that new believers do. Okay, the natural progression really is you get saved and you're baptized and then you're added to the church. Now here in Acts, we have Lydia and her household getting baptized. What's baptism all about? Now Lydia and her household had been saved. And the moment you get saved, you're baptized spiritually into the body of Christ. You're identified with Jesus Christ. With his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The moment that we trust in Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. So in reality, we have died with Jesus Christ on that cross. We are identified with him. We have been buried with him. We have rose again with him. Isn't that a wonderful truth? So we are dead to sin because Jesus Christ died on the cross. And we are alive to God. We're able to say no to sin. And we're able to say, yes, God, I want to do what you have me to do. And so we have Lydia and her household. They were saved. They were spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. They were in Christ. They had that newness of life. And the water baptism here is a symbol, it is a picture of what had already happened in their lives. They were identifying themselves with Jesus Christ. And as they went down below the water, that is a picture that they had died with Christ. They were buried as they were under that water. And they're coming up out of the water. They are rising to newness of life with Jesus Christ. Lydia and her household believed that good news. They obeyed and they were baptized. And then what happened? It doesn't end even there. What does Lydia do now? She begs Paul to stay with her. Okay? Now, this isn't anything sinful or anything. She just is showing hospitality here. But I think it's even more than hospitality here. I think Lydia has a desire to learn about Jesus Christ. Learn what he wants her to do now. Because Lydia is a new creature now. She has a totally new way of life, and she wants to know what this is all about. She wants to know from Paul, well, what does Jesus have to say? What did he teach when he was here on earth? How does God want me to be living my life now? Lydia wanted to know more and more. How could she best serve her new Savior? And I think that was Lydia's heart's desire here, to know how to live for her Savior, the one who had rescued her from her sins. And you know what? It doesn't take long after this before a church is started in the city of Philippi. And Lydia, I believe, would be a core part of that church. Lydia and her household and the Philippian jailer, they form a church. Okay, and so they're together. And they're helping one another grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Building one another up, praying for one another. So this really is what it's all about. Paul was saved. He went to Philippi. He told people the gospel. People heard. The Lord opened their hearts. They're saved. They're baptized. They become part of the church. They have a desire to live for God and encourage one another in their new walk with the Lord. That's what it's all about. And that's really simple, isn't it? It seems so simple, but why is it so hard to do that which is simple? It's so hard sometimes to go out and share the gospel with the lost. But you know what? When we share the gospel, the Lord is going to open hearts. And people are going to get saved, and then we're going to have more baptisms. And it's wonderful. And this is all going to bring glory to God.
Amen.
So simple, but yet so powerful and so profound. So the question is tonight, are we willing to obey the simple instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's where it all begins. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Saying, yes, Lord, I trust in you and you alone for my eternal salvation. And once you do that, you're saved. You're a new creature. And then, you should be baptized. And then, go and tell others. And be a part of a church. And see the Lord work in miraculous ways. So are you willing to obey just like Lydia did? Be baptized. Become a part of that local church. Are you desiring to work together so that more people might be saved? It's simple, but yet so profound and powerful. Lord, may you reveal your power as we obey your simple truth. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what you have shown us in the Scripture. We thank you for the power of the gospel. I thank you that Jesus Christ died for me and that he died for each and every person in this room. I thank you that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. I thank you for that free gift of salvation. I do pray that we would be living for you, that we'd be obeying you, that we'd be encouraging one another here in this church and in other churches as well. I thank you for Jesus Christ. And I even do thank you for Joe and his desire to obey you in baptism. I thank you that Joe has that desire to make a public testimony of what you have done in his life. And so I do pray that you'd continue to bless Joe, that you'd continue to help him grow in the faith, help us to encourage him. I pray that we'd build one another up in the faith. And so we do thank you for the promises you have given us in your word. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A powerful message. The word of God is powerful. And what we want to do now is have a special business meeting. And because Joe has expressed his desire to become a part of this church, to be baptized and join Nordville Baptist Church. And so, Dave Wilcox, why don't you go ahead and open our business meeting in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're just thankful, Father, for putting us in this place, Father, and for this church. Pray as Joe comes for membership, Father, for baptism, you might bless him. And we just pray that as we do conduct your business, now we do it to honor you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, Joe, come on up here and It's been neat to see the Lord work in Joe's life here the past year or so. And you can come right up in here if you. That way everybody can see you and you get a good perspective here.
Okay.
So, Joe, why don't you tell us all, you know, as far as how you got saved and why you want to join Nordville Baptist Church?
All righty. Well, for beginners, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Joe Hodges. I'm Verva's son. And we grew up just a few miles from here. And I've always been aware of the Lord, but never served. So I think as a youngster, probably around the age of 12 or so, I could have very easily been saved with my grandmother in Boone. But never having any discipleship or any furthering there, of course, I just drifted away and did whatever the world, you know, was acceptable. I graduated from high school. I joined the Marine Corps. I was proud to be a member of the Marine Corps. And I just kept on going, and events happened in my life that I just thought, well, this is just the way it is. Well, probably 3 or 4 years ago, I got to thinking, you know, my nickname is Tank, and I call myself Tank. I said, you know, Tank, sometimes, well, you know, if things don't go very good here and you die, you know, you're going to be not in a very good place. And I started to think about that, and I thought, something, you know, there's something more. And so little by little, I'm still enjoying a few refreshments, and little by little I started to enjoy them a little bit less and a little bit less. And finally I fell and hurt my arm a couple of days after Christmas, a couple of years ago, 07. And I went to the hospital, had surgery, came home, excuse me, and I realized that I began to realize some things that were happening that, you know, during 2 or 3 years prior to that, there would be a once in a while in a night I would wake up in the morning and the clock would say 3:16. And that doesn't happen to the person that's just living on the wild side. I don't believe that. I believe that, and it happened, you know, it didn't happen every night, but it just happened enough, with enough regularity, that I felt that something was happening. But I, you know, and all the while I'm thinking, okay, well, what is this? And, you know, and I really was, like I said, I hadn't been discipled. Well, when I hurt my elbow, and then I realized that things are changing. Well, I was taking the pills for my elbow, and I was having this terrible, terrible back pain that I'd never had before. So I told my mother, I said, Mom, I'm putting the pills down. And I, of course, I had some refreshments, so I decided to put them down. Well, lo and behold, I've never touched another beer since then. That's been over 2 years ago. So there's no question that that was the beginning of the road to where I am today. And I didn't realize it at that point, but I see it today as I can look back, because I feel that my eyes have become open. And I say that was definitely a way that the Lord was drawing me. And of course, I didn't know that a year ago, or I'm sorry, 2 years ago. I didn't really know that. But it was really interesting. And so then a little bit more time went by, and finally I asked my mom. We were talking one day, and I said, well, I think I'm to the point. This was probably around last April or so. I think I'm about to the point where I'm ready to live for the Lord. And of course, my Uncle Ronnie had been a devout Christian for many years, and a man that I always enjoyed being around, but it never really even spoke to him a lot during our family reunions and things like that, because of the way that I was. Well, he come down and showed me the plan of salvation, and I didn't really know much about it, and he presented the plan and asked me what I thought. I said, well, you betcha, I believe that with my heart. and has led me to today. I'm very thankful for everybody that's helped in my family, from people that might be gone to people that are here tonight that's prayed for me. I'm very thankful for that. So I'm here tonight to become baptized and to join this church, because I know I have a lot of growing to do. I'm very thankful for the open arms that everyone's extended to me from the very first day that I walked in the door. Now, that doesn't happen in the beer joint. That don't happen at the state fair, but it happened here, and it's because of the Lord. And I see that in just this year, from May 3rd to tonight, I see the way that people have welcomed me and really helped me. I'm very thankful for that. You've all been a tremendous blessing to me. So here I am tonight because I just feel that this church here is the right fit for me. It's the right time, and I want to grow, and I couldn't think of a better place to serve the Lord than right here in Norwoodville with my wonderful mother. Thank you, Mom.
Does anyone have any questions for Joe?
Can you tell me what my mother said to you at her 80th birthday?
Absolutely. My grandmother had been saved for years and years, and I come up to her and I said, "Grandma, how long have you served the Lord?" And she said, "Over 60 years. And she put her arm out and said, "When are you going to start, Joe?" So even then, you know, this has been probably back in 86 or before. So even that thought had been in my head. That seed was planted that day. And of course, as I mentioned, I didn't live that way. I've done everything under the sun, many things. I'm very thankful that the Lord's forgiving, because all those things. But where I came from and to where I am today, I just feel that there's been some progression, and I can only thank the Lord for that, because I could have never done it by myself. There was no way. I'm too weak to follow too much, and I could have never set myself apart from that. So I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for the cross. I'm very thankful for the Lord for doing things the way that they've happened.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay, I would go ahead and entertain a motion that we'd accept Joe Hodges into membership of the Norwoodville Baptist Church pending his baptism. I see Joy's hand. Do we have a second? Okay, I see Ron McLean. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Wonderful. So we'll go ahead and prepare for the baptismal service then.
While the men are moving the table in the pulpit out of the way here.
Is it turned on?
Okay. I can't hear because I'm standing in front of the speaker. We're going to turn to hymn number 186.
Thank you.
Amen. The old rugged cross. And it's not that the cross in and of itself is anything spectacular, but it is the person that was upon that cross, Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ that died for our sins. He was buried, he rose again the third day. What a blessing as sinners to be able to look up to that cross, to believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And praise the Lord for that. And Joe, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin?
Yes, I have.
Amen. And Joe, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you express your desire to be baptized by water to demonstrate to others, to be a picture of what Christ has already done in your life. Mm-hmm. And so, Joe Hodges, based upon your testimony of salvation, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to newness of life. Hallelujah. Amen.
All right, well, they change and dry up a little bit so that we can have the opportunity to share the right hand of fellowship with Brother Joe. We are going to turn to hymn number 198, and sing about the wonderful grace of Jesus. Let's stand together as we... seated. Apparently they're still all wet. So we'll turn over to 220. 220-220. About worn out yet? Should we? Joe, you gonna hurry up? Oh man, no, somebody's knocking on the wall. He's in trouble now. Let's turn over to hymn number 402. 402, The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. 402.
Dan?
Yes.
You want to tune on 404?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Never mind. Joking. No, we're not going to sing now, Joe. Would you want us to sing, Joe?
Hey, you're right.
404. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and thank the Lord for His many blessings, and the Lord is good, isn't He? Amen. Heavenly Father, we do praise You and thank You. We thank You for the power of the gospel. And I thank You that even this evening we witnessed how Joe, yes, he is a born-again believer, and he obeyed You in becoming a part of this church through baptism. And we thank You for his obedience and being water baptized, showing that he is a born-again believer. So we do thank You for this. I pray that You'd continue to help him grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I pray that we as Nordville Baptist Church would encourage him, that we'd encourage one another, and that we'd pray for one another. And we thank You most of all for Jesus Christ and for the new life that we have in Him. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to have the right hand of fellowship now. So Joe, if you would come dead center here, and then...